Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And in this passage, we're going to see that Ruth returns with Naomi. And we're going to see what it was about her steadfast mind that caused her to go all the way back to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi. Let's read. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they are grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters. For it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Notice in verse 18, the Bible says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. In other words, Naomi wasn't going to try to talk her out of it anymore. And so Ruth returned with Naomi. As you see in this passage, Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, in spite of some very severe obstacles, or some very genuine obstacles if they're not severe. For instance, Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, in spite of her liberty. Look again in verses 8 and 9. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go. Return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and they lifted up their voice and wept. In other words, she's saying, listen, you have a sense of obligation to me. You've been hanging around with me. And you've been taking care of me. You've dealt with the dead and you've dealt with me. You've been kindly dealing with me. But I'm giving you a blessing now. I'm telling you, listen, you don't have an obligation to me as your mother-in-law anymore. You go and you each remarry and then find rest in the house of your new husband now that your my sons are dead. And they had liberty to do that. I think you know the law, and certainly if Moab was influenced by it in any way, or by the custom of Naomi in any way, they knew that once their husbands were dead, they were free to marry with anybody they wanted. Paul used this truth to illustrate our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 7. He said, "Know you not, brethren," in verse 1 of Romans chapter 7, "For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." And so Ruth and Orpah were loosed from the law of their husband. They had liberty. And they had no further obligation to Naomi at all. They, in some way, had chosen to deal kindly with her and to comfort her. But honestly, it would have been easier for them in Moab to find husbands. And Orpah recognized that, and she took her mother-in-law up on the offer, but Ruth didn't. And Ruth allowed herself to maintain an obligation to her mother-in-law as a child would, and decided not to take advantage of the liberty that she had to go find herself another husband. Now, Paul, when he was writing about widows, recognized that a lot of times a young widow gets to a place where she doesn't want to have to depend upon Christ solely for her support. And then what she'll want to do is she'll want to marry. He talked about that in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11. He said, "The younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry." And so Naomi fully expected Ruth to take advantage of her liberty and go find her another husband. But Ruth would have nothing of it. She decided, in spite of her liberty, that she would be steadfastly minded to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah. All right, here's another thing. Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, in spite of her widowhood. You say, "Well, that sounds a little bit like the first point." Well, except we're going to apply it in a different way. Look at verses 11 through 13. Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." What's she talking about there? Well, what she's talking about is a law in Israel and a custom perhaps in Moab, and that is that if a man dies, the wife marries his brother who then raises up seed for him. This is something that went on with Judah back in Genesis chapter 38 before the law, and then we find it codified in the law in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Look first of all with me in Genesis chapter 38. All right, Genesis chapter 38, and look at verse 7. Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Now was married. Okay? Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. So now Ur's wife, Tamar, is a widow. Verse 8, Judah said unto Onan, that's his second son, "Go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother." And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and so he did something about it to prevent her from having children. And so the Lord slew him. All right, but what you've got is this custom that Judah practices here, where the boy dies and the woman marries his brother, okay, and then tries to raise up a child that would be his brother's heir. Okay? Look at it again in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And we'll look at verse 5 and 6. Now you find it written in the law, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. You better hope. You better hope. If your brother is weak of heart, that he marries a good woman, right? Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And then what happens is the next son becomes the firstborn of that boy. So you can see what the hesitation would be on the part of a young man. He's saying, okay, now I'm going to raise up this firstborn boy, and that'd be the pride of his father, is now really going to be my brother's son and raise up as an heir to his. And then if I have another son, that'll be my heir. So there's some hesitancy and there's some provision in the law what happens if a man refuses to do that. Nevertheless, let's get back to Ruth. And notice that because of her widowhood, there was a custom and even a law in Israel that she couldn't marry except for one of the brothers. Well, there were only two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And so what you've got is you've got a situation where Naomi is saying, oh, look, I'm not even married, but if I were to marry tonight and have a son right now, a year from now, would you wait, whatever, 15, 16, 17, 18 years until that boy's old enough for you to marry so you could have a child? I mean, what are the prospects of that? Basically, she says, I'm not going to end up married, so there are no prospects for you to marry if you go along with me. And in spite of that, Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi. She said, that doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference that I have the liberty to marry somebody here. It doesn't make any difference that I have an obligation to you if I stay with you to marry your offspring, which you say you're not going to have. All right, but then there's another thing. She was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, in spite of her sister-in-law. Look in verses 14 and 15. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. In other words, Orpah turned back to go back into Moab. She was fully intended to go find her husband there. And, you know, honestly, among women particularly, but and I think it's true of men as well, but particularly among women, if one goes, the others are going to follow. I watched this, but in a different way, when I first entered into the business world and banking. We were in a large bank, lots and lots of people there. And it was not uncommon in a situation where you would find a secretary or perhaps an officer in the bank who was a woman, if she had gone through a rough marriage and had gone through a divorce, somebody else in the bank who was having difficulty in their marriage would sometimes latch on to this woman, and in their conversations, she would find that her own marriage had some of the same difficulties as the woman who had recently gotten divorced, and within a year, maybe 18 months, the woman who had made friends with the recent divorcee was now divorced herself. You say, what is that? It's just one of those things where it builds a little momentum. You have somebody that's done it, and you've been thinking about it, and now you'll do it too. Same deal. If Ruth was even the least bit minded to stay in Moab, if it had just crossed her mind that, you know, as long as Orpah's going to do this, I'll do it, okay, then certainly, Orpah going back to Moab would have been enough to convince Ruth, hey, man, if she's not going to do it, neither am I. And that would have been enough for her to bail. But Ruth didn't bail. She said, you know what, I am going to go on through with this. I am steadfastly minded to go with Naomi into Bethlehem, Judah, in spite of the fact that she had encouragement from Orpah to stick around, and in spite of the fact that she saw Naomi's reaction and realized, hey, Naomi didn't get upset about that. It's really what she wants us to do. You know what? A lot of people would have taken that incentive and gone back, but she didn't. Notice something else. Ruth returned with Naomi because she was steadfastly minded to go with her to Bethlehem, Judah, in spite of her journey. Look at verse 16. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go." She didn't know where she was going. She was just going wherever Naomi was going. I mean, she knew the general direction. She's heading back to Bethlehem, Judah. But what does she know about that place? She says, "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Well, she doesn't know the people and the customs. "Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God," and so forth like that. When later on in chapter 2, when Boaz meets her, he says to her in verse 11, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." In spite of her journey, she says, "Wherever you're going, I'll go. Wherever you lodge, I'll lodge." And she has no idea what the future holds for her. She has no idea. You know, she doesn't know what Naomi's circumstances are there. They couldn't be very good if Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion all left there in the midst of that famine to come to Moab. They couldn't have been too good. And after 10 years, that's how long they were gone. After 10 years of being away from home, you know that the house that she lived in is going to be a ramshackled shack. And she says, "It doesn't make any difference. Where you're going, I'm going. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. It's good enough for you, it's good enough for me." She was going to a strange land, a land with different customs, a land with different culture, a land with different language, and a land where she might be viewed as an outcast. And you have to know that there was some real definite fear and apprehension about making that journey, and she didn't even hesitate. She said, "Wherever you're going, I'm going." You know, when Abraham was told, "You go out of Ur of the Chaldees and head over there to the land of Canaan," and he heads out through that thing, he's told to separate from his family, and he doesn't do that. He takes Lot with him. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe he thought that he had some obligation to take care of him. Probably so. But nevertheless, he was with somebody he knew. This could be a very scary thing, particularly for a young lady, a young widow. No telling what type of reception she's going to get over there. And she went on and said, "That make a difference to me. I'm adventurous. Let's go." I'm telling you, what a tremendous young lady Ruth is. Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, in spite of her liberty. She was free to marry there in Moab, in spite of her widowhood. She owed Naomi no real obligation. Naomi didn't have another son, in spite of her sister-in-law, who had already pretty much encouraged her to go with her. And in spite of her journey, a place that she was going where she didn't know anybody, didn't understand the customs, the culture, or the language, and how she might be treated, went anyway. But that's not all. She went steadfastly minded to go, in spite of her family. Look again in verse 16. She says, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Woo, wait a minute. You know, it's one thing to take an adventurous journey with somebody for a little while. She said, I'll go over there with you for a couple of years and make sure you get situated. Then I'll come home. She didn't say that. She said, "I'm going to die there and I'm going to be buried there." This is a lifetime commitment. Well, you know, anybody would understand a short-term arrangement, but a lifetime commitment of leaving her people. Listen, there are people today that are in churches, and the churches do not preach the truth, and the people that are there know it. The church as an organization, by cooperation with other churches, approves of things that are not biblical. Okay? The church has problems. There's either some poor performance on the part of the pastor or some, you know, treasurer that has done something that's not exactly up and up. Nevertheless, people will stay in a church like that knowing those things, and I just gave you some hypothetical situations, but they're true of churches. Nevertheless, they'll stay in a church like that in spite of those problems because their family is there and has been there. "Well, my grandfather went to church, or my mother went to church here, or I grew up in this church." And they'll stay there. Why? They don't want to leave their people. You'll find people that will get saved. They truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They get saved. They know that they're saved. They recognize the religion of their family is wrong. that they were would have died and gone to hell had they stayed in that religion, and they have truly gotten salvation. Their family is still in that religion, still goes to that church, and that person will stay in that church just because they don't want to do anything to leave that family, even though the rest of the family is on their way to hell without Jesus Christ until somebody tells them how to get saved. You say, how in the world could Ruth leave the family ties? How could she leave her people and her friends and basically adopt Naomi's people and die with them and be buried with them? You understand, her husband was buried in the land of Moab, and when she dies, she's going to be buried with her mother-in-law, and she will not have the shared grave or the tombstone next to her husband, which is a strange situation, because oftentimes people want to be buried in the same cemetery, buried next to each other. She said, I don't care about that. In spite of that, I'm going to go, wow, that is really something. All right, now notice, Ruth returns with Naomi because she was steadfastly minded to go with her, in spite of not only her family, but also her religion. And I made some comments about that already, but listen, she said, thy God be my God. Thy God will be my God. She's leaving her God, the God she's known ever since her childhood. Albeit we know, you and I know, that her God was just an idol. Her God in Chemosh, in Moab, was called Chemosh. Chemosh. And we know from the Bible that's a false God. I don't know that Ruth knew that. Or I don't know how much Ruth knew, but I know that she knew she was leaving her religion. She was leaving her God and said, thy God's going to be my God. Now, you know something? According to Naomi's own testimony, her God really hadn't been that good to her. Well, you're going to find out later, in fact, that God had been very good to her. But as far as Naomi was concerned at the time, she did not have a testimony of her God that was one that would be very suitable for somebody like Ruth to accept. Because look what Naomi says in verses 19 to 22, which we'll study later. She says, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. The Almighty hath afflicted me. She says in verse 13, the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. You see that? That is Naomi's bitter testimony about her God. And for whatever reason, Ruth says, you know what? I would rather trust your God, whom you say has dealt very bitterly with you, and whose hand has gone out against you. I'd rather trust him than the one that I grew up with. Boy, you talk about a major change. Now, we know that she chose the right God when she chose Naomi's God. We know that. But looking at it from her perspective, her own father-in-law has died, her brother-in-law has died, and her own husband has died, and Naomi is blaming God. And Ruth says, I'll trust your God. Your God's going to be my God. I'm going to leave Chemosh. I'm going to leave the family tradition. I'm going to leave the worship that I know, and I'm going to take your God. Wow. Can you imagine? Just think about it. Let that sink in for a minute. Listen, the Pharisees had their tradition and had their rule. Their God, Jesus Christ, showed up, and he performed miracles that only God could have performed. And those Pharisees said, we're going to hang on to our tradition. We're going to hang on to our concept of God. We're going to hang on to our law, and we're not going to take the person who is obviously God manifest in the flesh. They wouldn't switch. And Ruth, in circumstances much worse, much less favorable than that, says, I'll take him. Thy God will be my God. Don't you know a little girl like Ruth is going to put those Pharisees to shame at the judgment of God? Well, it's no wonder that Ruth was steadfastly minded in verse 18 to go with Naomi. And it's no wonder that Naomi left speaking unto her. Because Ruth had already dealt with these big obstacles in her life and was determined to not let these obstacles stop her. She had considered the cost. She said, look, I understand what's going on here. I know that I can go back like Orpah did and marry a man from here. I just don't want to. I realize that you don't have any more children, and therefore I may never marry, but that's my choice, and I choose to accept that. I realize that Orpah has gone back, and that I should be encouraged to do the same thing that she has done, but I'm not going to do it. I made up my mind that I wouldn't leave you. I know that I don't know where I'm going. I know that I don't understand the language. I don't understand the culture of these folks here. I know that I may be viewed in some form of reproach. I mean, coming from a family who all the male members have died, people are probably going to say, what's wrong with Naomi? I realize that. I realize that I'm leaving my family and probably will never see them again. And I realize that I'm fixing to change God's and take the one I suppose is alive and trade him in, trade for the one that I had, which I know now is not alive. In spite of the fact that, Naomi, you think that these bad circumstances that have happened in your life happened at the hand of the very God that I'm going to worship. That's okay. Listen, when Ruth had covered all those obstacles in her heart and in her mind, all of the protests raised by Naomi were insufficient to convince Ruth to turn around and go back. Do you know something? You and I should be so steadfastly minded to go with the Lord. That's right. We should be so steadfastly minded that we don't mind leaving the family religion, and we don't mind walking away from our family if they don't want the God of the Bible. We don't mind having to make a journey into another church. We don't mind the fact that our friends turn their back on us, or that we have liberty to do something other that we're going to do. But we are steadfastly minded. We are going to follow the Lord wherever He takes us. And you know something? If you had that little mind of Ruth and had crossed those obstacles in your own life, you know what? Your Christian life would be a better life than it is. Why don't you do what Ruth did? Amen?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.